There are four lessons here that we want to take out of the life of Joash this afternoon, and I'm going to try to do it quickly because that was an intense potluck, and we don't want you guys having the guilt of going to sleep and thinking your pastor's just an old bore, so we'll kind of work our way through this with some dispatch. All right, in chapter 24, verse 1 and 2, this morning we opened up with that, and we talked about the importance of influence. And as I have worked on this 24th chapter, I have really changed my opinion of Joash some. And I think that God is teaching us a very important lesson about the limited value of influence. Now, this morning we talked about influence, and we talked about how we can have an influence on the lives of others, and that's very, very important. But tonight, or this afternoon, we're going to look at the limited value of that influence. So let's pray before we begin. Our Father, as we open your word together this afternoon, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to understand your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zebiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. My first lesson, 2 Chronicles 24, 1 through 2, 1 and 2, righteousness can be borrowed. I think that Joash was a man who had borrowed righteousness. Now, I had some notes that this morning I didn't have time to share with you, and maybe I'll just insert those at this particular time. Jehoshaphat, who was the great-great-grandpa of Joash, was a good king. And he was followed by Jehoram, who was a king for 8 years, and he was an evil king. Jehoram was followed by Ahaziah. He only reigned for 1 year, and he was an evil king. Ahaziah took the throne, and he got mixed up with another Jehoram, not his father, but Jehoram of Israel, king of Israel, and he went to help Jehoram fight a battle. And in this relationship with Jehoram, Ahaziah got killed, and it was by the hand of Jehu. We won't go into all of that story. But anyway, Jehoram, or Ahaziah, was killed. Now, Ahaziah's mother was Athaliah. I tell you, you wouldn't want to name your daughter Athaliah. You wouldn't name her Jezebel, and you wouldn't name her Athaliah. Athaliah, when she heard that her son had been killed, she killed all the royal seed herself, had them all killed, and she took the throne for herself for 6 years. Well, one of those royal seeds was hidden, and that was Joash, and he was hidden by his aunt, Jehoshabeah. And he was hid for 6 years in the household of Jehoiada. And then Jehoiada arranged to have him anointed as king when he was 7 years old. And in that time, Athaliah just went crazy, and she's shouting treason and that kind of stuff. And she's taken out of the temple area and killed at the horse gate. And then Joash has the leadership of Israel. And we find out that as long as Jehoiada lived, Joash served the Lord well. And we're going to find out that he didn't continue that. And that's why I'm making the statement that he had a borrowed righteousness. Now, this one that he borrowed his righteousness from was Jehoiada the priest. And there are some things that might be good for us to realize there. Any idea how old Jehoiada was when Joash took the throne? 90 years old. Gene, you old critters are still valuable to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? That's wonderful. Just plain wonderful. Now, this last week, Gene has been, you know, encouraging his granddaughter, and, you know, there's nothing he wants more than to see, you know, our sweet little Mackenzie love the Lord and serve him. And your influence and Shirley's influence and the influence of the rest of us is important in those areas that we have influence our children for Christ. And Joash was influenced well for the Lord. I think back in the years when I was a teenager. In those teenage years, and I could wish it was different, but it's not, so it was, I reflected the people I was around. Some of you were like that as teenagers too, weren't you? When you were with the good kids, you were good. With your the bad kids, you were bad. You know, that kind of thing. And a lot of the world is like that. They just reflect the people they're around. And I had a friend, John Pratt. And I was always a better kid when I hung out with John. So there's reasons to have this kind of influence. But this kind of righteousness is a borrowed righteousness. Now come with me down to verse 5. And he gathered together the priests, this is Joash did, and the Levites, and said to them, get out unto the cities of Judah and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that ye hasten the matter. Borrowed righteousness can be zealous. Just because it's borrowed doesn't mean it's impotent. And Joash used his borrowed righteousness well. One of the connections I make with this is, you know, we as the people of God in our nation can make a difference if we are people of influence. Joash, or Jehoiada, a 90-year-old man in the temple, his values dominated the nation because of his relationship to the king. And I don't doubt that in many cases, that is how God intends to bring blessings on a place like America. That the people of God would live godly lives and use that godliness to affect the leadership and decisions of others. And we see that happen in the life of Joash. Now, I'm apt to become a little political here right now. But I'm a little Pollyanna, you know. I, as much as I am melancholy, I always look for the good in things, and the hopeful. And you know, I see something with this man Trump that makes me hopeful. You notice who he chose to be his running mate as vice president? He is probably one of the most godly men in politics. And he has stood faithfully by his godly testimony. Now, Trump may be an absolute heretic who's just used him for the political value of getting the religious right vote. But I don't think that's the case. Because it sounds like I'm campaigning for Trump. One of the things that Trump has already said he's going to do in his first 100 days is rescind the act and law that was signed into order by Lyndon Baines Johnson when it was denied the right of the churches to speak their political values. And if they did, they would lose their tax-exempt status. So really, from clear back there, which would have been 1967, 1968, the churches have been silenced. And it's interesting what Trump says about that. I was listening to the speech where he said that, which might have been his acceptance speech on the for the nomination. Did you hear that? Yeah. He said, everybody in America deserves a voice. Isn't that interesting? And he wants God's people to have a voice. So there is this dynamic of borrowed righteousness. And God has a way of influencing that and using that. So Joash rebuilt the temple. And we find that the people gravitated to that. It was interesting, though, that even as he did that, the priests and Levites were a little negligent in taking care of it, as you read the story. And he just came down and twisted their tail and said, guys, get this taken care of. So, borrowed righteousness can be zealous. Now, come with me to verse 15. And here's where we begin to see the limited value of a borrowed righteousness. Verse 15. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings. He was a man, evidently, of great esteem. And we know why here. It says, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Verse 17, now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them. What a different tale. It would be good to just kind of draw a line from verse 2 to verse 17. In verse 2, we find that he did that which was right all the days of Jehoiada. And in verse 17, we find him hearkening unto the princes of Judah. Now, how did the princes of Judah get his attention? They worshipped him. You betcha. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Joash was betrayed by the love and attention of the men who used him to get their way. And verse 18 says, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this trespass. Here's my point. Borrowed righteousness has no life of its own. It is only as good as the one from whom you borrow it. And we need to understand that as the people of God. And I kind of want to stop and kind of, I guess, harp on this point a little bit, folks. Our influence is very valuable and very good. But the value and good that we have in our influence comes from God and not from us. We're not looking for people who will imitate us. We're looking for people who will imitate God. And if we're not careful to lead people on to the throne of Jesus Christ, we have failed. We need to be careful and busy about that. As much as people might admire our good works and our sacrifices and our faithful labors, that is not the solution in their lives. The only solution is Jesus Christ. And you come upon that solution in only one way. If we will confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him. Now, I don't know of anybody, and I don't mean to draw any aspersions upon any of you, but I don't know of anybody who has more righteousness to borrow than my dear wife Charlotte. But it won't work. It won't work. I've been glad to lean and rest upon that for 47 years. But I have to have my own. I have to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ where I have come humbly before Him, acknowledged my sin, and given my life to Him, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, when you come into these scriptures and you find a multiple name of Jesus, that is not just redundancy. There is importance in that. We come to this one called Jesus. It says first, Lord. Now that's your English translation of it. The Greek translation is Adonai, and it means master. And if we're going to have a righteousness of our own, we come to this one Jesus who lived and died and rose again to pay the penalty of our sins. We come to Him as our master. And that is so very, very important if we're to have a righteousness of our own. So let us learn from the lesson of Joash that as much as we can affect the world for its good by leading godly and holy lives, it is only of a limited value. Now, regarding that limited value then, we also have verse 20 through 22 that kind of sets the stake, okay? Drives the nail home. Get with me in verse 20. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest. Now, God is giving us these relationships so we understand it. Who was Jehoiada? That was the priest who led and influenced Joash. Okay, who is Zechariah? His son. He's the priest who follows in Jehoiada's place after Jehoiada died. All right? The Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, He hath also forsaken you. Zechariah was a preaching priest. And God gave him a message to confront the sin of a recalcitrant, unrepentant king. How will Joash respond? Verse 21, they conspired against him and stoned him with stones. Unless there's any question, please understand, it happened at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. Joash was raised there. Joash had experienced the commitment and the love and the care of Jehoiada. And now, because Zechariah, Jehoiada's son, cares enough to speak the truth, Joash has commanded his death. Come with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse 51. Well, let's start at 49. Therefore also, said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles. Some of them they will slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Here is our Lord, almost 1,200 years later, who is saying, I've not forgotten my servant Zechariah, who was killed for that which was doing right. We mentioned borrowed righteousness has no life of its own, and now I want you to see how the apparently righteous can be abundantly wicked. Isn't that amazing? We have a world of people, it seems, who have a taste for religion, but not a taste for righteousness. That was the problem with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the entire Sanhedrin, for that matter, that they had a taste for the superficial work of God, but no taste for the personal work of God in their own lives. And there are some scriptures that we read through just quickly sometimes, and I doubt we think we stop to ponder them. Now, these guys we're talking about were the trusted, honored, and elevated religious leaders of their day. And we read of them that after they had a confrontation with Jesus, they got back together and they consulted on how they might kill him. Do we ever think about that? When was the last time you consulted with one of your fellows here in this church? How can we kill this guy? We got to find a way to kill him. That's something that you expect gangsters to do, you know, or mob leaders, but not the religious leaders of our world. Borrowed righteousness can be exceedingly wicked. And as a matter of fact, I think there is room to say that some of the most wicked things that have been done in this world have been done in the name of religion. And you don't have to go back any further than the Reformation to see that. I'm so glad that the Lord has given me opportunity in my life to sit quietly and read and study a lot of these things, because of the lessons that I've learned from it. But you look back in the 1400s and 1500s and the 1600s, and you find the leaders of the Anglican Church, the leaders of the Roman Catholic Church, capturing those believers and treating them with cruelty that ISIS wouldn't understand. They tied them to stakes, folks. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. They would tie them to a stake, and while they're there alive, they would disembowel them. they would make them hold their bowels in their own hands. The pain of that, the shock of that. They would tie them and burn them alive at the stake. Now, those terrible things were done if the lesser things that they did didn't have the effect they wanted. The lesser things were they would cut their tongues out. They would cut their ears off. They would cut their noses off. Folks, in the name of religion, they had a borrowed righteousness, but not a righteousness of their own. They were zealous for the institution of the church, for the programs of the church, but not the Christ of the church. There's a very different reality there. And so I want to close just with this simple question for you today. Do you have a righteousness of your own? Or do you have one that you've borrowed from maybe an aunt or an uncle that you really loved and admired? Maybe you've borrowed your righteousness from a mother or father or both that you have really loved and admired. Or do you rather have a righteousness of your own? And that righteousness of your own, I don't mean to be redundant, can only come in one way. That's when you develop an honest personal relationship with God, where you take responsibility for yourself and your sin before Him. Seek His forgiveness and extend your obedience unto Him. I don't think Joash is going to be listed among the kings to be rewarded when the Lord comes back. I think we'll see him as a man who did some very good things, but in the end was not a very good man, because he had never given his heart and soul to his Heavenly Father. Challenge you this afternoon. Have you given your heart and soul to your Father? Let's pray. Father in heaven, the story of Joash is one that can be incredibly threatening to us. For the vast majority of his life, he looked like something that he was not. And in the end, we found out what he really was. And Lord, I pray that our lives might be an expression of what we truly are. I pray, Father, that at the very bottom of our soul, we will be people that are absolutely given to you, who love you because you first loved us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.